So please welcome our last performer for the evening, Amy Scribner.
That Alec describes, and the sweetness of the relationship that Tom describes. And yes, food is mom, and mom is food, and it's all linked, and it's just a nightmare. So my mother really is, she's quite a trip. And if you took basically every single person I have ever known, slept with, and related to, and you added them all up, and you multiplied them by 10, and you still would not come up with a life force that is strong, as strong as my mother is in my life. So it's just been, you know, just one of those relationships. Typical mother-daughter, where there are no boundaries, where she has projected all of her stuff onto me. And it's taken a long time. It's taken a really long time to figure all of that stuff out. And she lives in upstate New York. So when I was living in New York City, it was very easy to go visit her. And of course, you have to go visit your mother. So it's not like I can cut my mother out of my life just because she calls me fat once in a while. And so I would get on, you know, so I would go visit her. And I had a one-night limit with her. That was all I could handle. So I would go up on Adirondack Trailways, very easy, just take one night, you know. And then I'd show up, and she'd forget to pick me up. Yeah, I remember one night I called her, and I said, "What are you doing?" I called her from the, you know, I can smell the nacho cheese and all that stuff from the little cafe that's there. It's disgusting. It's Albany, New York. And I said, "What are you doing?" And she said, "Well, your Aunt Kay and Uncle Tony are over. I made my famous salmon wiggle, which might just be my best ever. And your Auntie Kay brought over a box of gallon chablis, so we're all quintessentially friends about it." And she said, "So, now how are you?" And I said, "I'm at the Albany train station. Come on, come pick me up." And I was like, "No, forget it, because you've been drinking cheap wine, and I'll take a cab." So that kind of set a precedent for our visits not going that well. And it didn't stop when I moved to California. So I've been in California for 5 years now, so there have been a number of visits. And unfortunately, you can't fly to L.A. for one night. So the one-night limit with my mother had to sort of grow. So I set a limit at three nights. I thought, that's good. So she'll come here for three nights, and then she'll go visit my brother, who's teaching at Stanford in Palo Alto. I'll throw her in the Southwest. My brother and I had this all worked out very manipulatively. Like, put three with me. "No, I'll take her for four. No, it's a week. She's got to have a week. No, I'm not taking four nights. You have her girlfriend. She'll buffer. She'll buffer." And so this whole thing went on, and we would plan the number of days that she was allowed to come. So the first visit, she came out, and it was, you know, now the one-night rule is gone. I have now set a limit at three. So how many days do you think she came for? 15! 15 days! My mother came to LA! It was horrible! I begged her, please. I had a tradition with a friend. I spent every New Year's Eve with him for 10 years. And I said, please just leave by the 30th. Please leave by the 30th so that I can have my New Year's Eve and I can have my tradition. Not only does she leave on New Year's Eve, but she doesn't have a flight until 9 o'clock. So I have to spend New Year's Eve with her, but it wasn't that bad because I got so sick by day five that I spent the rest of the vacation puking anyway, which included a trip up the coast, and it was just it was pretty amazing. And the first thing she did when she got here, and I had so this is the first time I had an 87 Volkswagen Crapulet. It was just a terrible car, broke down all the time, and when she showed up, she had, like, right out of the Home Shopping Network, like you know, a five-piece set of luggage. And it's just, you know, enormous. I have no idea what could possibly be in there. And, you know, in a overnight bag here with, like, a sailboat and canvas on it. And just all this shit, including a wheelchair because my mother has MS, which has been progressive, and she has to. It's gotten worse over the years, and so that was the first time she ever showed up with her wheelchair, and of course that was broken, so it was even more work. And my mother is not a light woman. She's not light. I would say she's 210, 220, plus I've got a pusher, and I'm 5'3". So it was a lot of work. It was a lot of work, which is why my brother and I normally split the duties. And the first thing she does, she shows up with all this luggage. She's so in my space and in my face. She's already insulted me, you know, five ways till Tuesday. And she gets into the apartment, and she goes, "You know, honey, will you take a look at my feet?" Oh, this is before she demanded Tab, which they don't even sell here. And I said, "What for?" And she goes, "I have got a corn on my foot, and honest to heavens, if I don't get it scraped off, I am not going to make it through these 2 weeks." And I said, "Yeah, I know, about the 15 days. So she goes, "Now, I can't read the yellow pages. Take a look at my foot and see if you see any kind of jack of corn removal." I was like, "You just gotta be kidding. You've gotta be kidding." So my good friend, the next day, because I had to work, he actually drove her to Dr. Padashi on Wilshire to have her corn removed. And when they met, she had never even met this guy before, she meets him and says, "I'm what you'd call high maintenance." No shit. Anyway, you know, typical things she says to me, you know, just so you get an idea of the kind of insults she gives me. Or, you know, she just always had real boundary issues with me. She would say things like, "You know, your cousin may have gotten the looks, dear, but you have the personality, huh?" And that counts for a lot more than looks. And it's like, you know, she would also talk about my cousin, say things like, you know, "Well, it's a shame we don't have that body, although you don't look any heavier than usual." What is that? Is it a compliment? Is it an insult? I mean, I think it's pretty clear what it is. So, needless to say, it's always been an issue. And the second trip she came to California was my brother's wedding. And I had a lot of issues around that because I'm the only one of my two brothers and my cousins that I grew up with that is single and childless. And when I look at all my mother issues, it's pretty obvious why. And so it was my brother's wedding, and she just sat there. It was very hard for me. I had to sing. I was there. I was alone. And every single person in that wedding had a date. And I was actually even shoved into a very small table with my brother and the sort of bridal party. And it was like, couple, and just a table of eight. And then they're like, "Shove a chair in for Amy." So I was sort of, you know, shoved in here. It was just so awful. And so, you know, I didn't need the stuff that my mother was projecting onto me anyway, like, "You have to have a man and a baby, and soon," which has been her MO since I've entered my 30s. So she sat there at a table and looked across at me and just said, "You know, the only wedding I want to go to is yours." Like I had a choice in the matter. And she said, "You know, I was thinking maybe you could find a man if you were a little less, well, a little less you." You can't. work on it. And I really thought about her life and thought about how she was a woman that was raised by alcoholics and couldn't have friends over because they would be passed out on the floor sometimes. She raised her much younger brother and then had to identify him when he came back from Vietnam in a body bag. And she was left by my father on the same day that her best friend committed suicide. And she committed suicide by asphyxiating herself with a car exhaust, and she committed suicide because her husband left her. So now she's stricken with a disease that leaves her in a wheelchair and at the mercy of others to push her around because they don't even allow electric wheelchairs on airplanes, which I can't believe. I keep calling. I'm like, you sure you can't get the motorized one on the airplanes, you know? But it's sad, and I think about her life and how she has, how she's raised me and how she was raised, and I have a great, great sympathy for her. So this last trip was just a gem of a trip. It was great. I dealt with, I've been in there many rounds of therapy, as we all have, but I think it's time for therapy again. Yeah. So round three in LA, after that wedding, I thought, boy, I really better solve this, because I would like to maybe have a child one day, and I don't want to do to them what she did to me and what her mother had done to her. So all that vicious cycle stuff, many books written on the subject. Very, very typical, very typical. And so this trip was just an absolute gem of a trip. I showed up with flowers. I was just the greatest daughter in the world. Showed up, had tons of room in the car. I even offered to rent a car with air conditioning because it was too hot for her. You know, she shows up and the first thing she says is like, tired and Hades here. I don't know how you stand it. I mean, I don't know whether it's the global warming or El Nino, but Mother Nature, I'll have absolutely no curl left in my hair. And I'm like, that's okay. We'll get a fan. I have air. You know, so she's complaining about the heat the entire time. And, the first thing she does is she gets up to my apartment and she sits down and we've had some really wonderful talks on the phone. I didn't snap at her when I called at Thanksgiving and she said, I'm so glad you called. She said, we were just sitting around talking all about you and your career and your love life and we're figuring it all out. You let me know when you've got the answer. And I was like, yeah, the therapy's worth everything. Yes, it's the new me. So I was just on. I was going to be great. And the first thing she did is she sits in my apartment. She looks around. Just waiting to judge. And then finally she goes, are those the new curtains you told me about? Did you keep the receipt? and then it just started from there. So, and I didn't say anything. I didn't say anything. But, you're right. I think a primary color would look better. You're right. And it just went on and on. I didn't say anything when we went to dinner at Pastis, and it's across the street from the lady for large sizes. And she said, for dinner. So we could go over there. I saw some snazzy separates in the window, and maybe we could find something. I'm still in single digits. Thank you. I really need it. And anyway, it was a really, really wonderful trip. And I had lots of help from friends. And I really planned activities. And I really feel like I finally figured it out. And I had a really nice trip with her at the holidays this time. And so I'm glad that there are books out there and there are friends who can support you and that there are mothers that drive you crazy if you love them more than anything in the world. I mean, there's nobody I want in a crisis except my mother. And she just keeps going. She just keeps going, which is an amazing, amazing thing. And her MS has gotten much worse, and she has a handicapped van, and it just doesn't stop her. She went to Ireland last year, and I will leave you with this image of her on top of a mountain, on top of like the cliffs of Dover, and she's large and round and looks exactly like me, but she has teeth from here to here, a huge smile, And there she is on top of a cliff, and the sea is in the background. And she's just smiling here to here in her wheelchair, while 20 feet away is a gypsy playing a harp. And I said, you can't show this to people. It's Fellini-esque, and it is the stuff that I scared of. Opened a bed and breakfast in Prague, and I am taking my mother. So we are going to go to Prague, and I'm going to push her around, and hopefully she won't push me around too much. Thank you.